Thank you for being here, and you may be seated, and we just want to welcome you to Cross City. I'm so glad that you chose to worship with us today. It's been a joy to see you as you've been praying for your friends and co-workers and family members to be followers of Jesus Christ. And you can see by some of these red cards that we've had up to this service, I think we've had right at 20 people who have decided to follow Jesus and make that a public profession of faith in just a couple of weeks. And we're in a series, and we're aiming for our anniversary date, which I don't have the dates. I think it's October 13, 14, something like that, second weekend of October. So we just want you to keep praying for one and planning for that and all that. Also, if you're already a born-again believer, most of you are, we'd like for you to maybe consider taking that next step yourself. You say, what is that? Well, it's called the, you'd call it whatever you want. We call it discipleship, going next level, if you will. And on your way out of the lobby today, the people on our discipleship team will be trying to hand you one of these. And it's just a way for you to get a little more connected and maybe get involved. And we just believe that's critical if you want to go to the next level. They say you need about 8 personal contacts in the church for that to become your church. And I've talked to people who've been members here for years and years and years, and they always let it slip. They'll say something like, you got a pretty nice church, or your church. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? It's your church. But people don't feel like it if they don't make those connections. So this is a way for you to help maybe get on down that road. It's risky. I know the seats in here are comfortable. But I'd love to challenge you to jump out of your comfort zone and jump into the community that is Cross City Church. So please do that and consider that on your way out. They'll be handing those out. Also want to give you a little bit of update on our youth building. This is what it's going to look like. And it really is a phenomenal building. And I know you've just seen a dirt pile over there for a long time. And we've done a lot of work you wouldn't even know of. But we also have a lot of stuff to kind of get through. A couple things I wanted to tell you about it are some sort of conditional use permit we've been trying to get. We were told Friday that it's on the way. It's on the way. So that's a good sign. And the worst news is that the price of this thing has basically tripled. I'm not going to lie. And it's just gone through, pardon the pun, the roof. It just keeps going higher and higher and higher. And some of that's on us, but most of it is the steel and the tariffs and just the city and the codes and just all the 16 departments that everybody has to look at every little grain of dirt that's moved and approve it and tell you how to do it and everything else. It's part of building in California. If you've ever tried to do it, I just want to tell you, it's not easy. But we're going to do it. And we've decided that we're going to have to take a loan, and we don't want to. We weren't planning on it, but if we either have to go forward or not. And we've decided we are, and we think we can get that taken care of, paid off in 3 years or 4 years. We just believe we can do that, and it shouldn't be that challenging. But I wanted to remind you that as it stands now, they're actually going to be working on it. The plan, this is the plan, it always gets pushed back, but October is, we're supposed to be turning over dirt to actually work on the foundation in October, so we're excited about that. It's going to be an amazing building. I just want to remind you, every red cent you can designate, and we want that to be above and beyond your regular giving, of course, but if you would be willing to designate that towards our construction, this building, that's one red cent we don't have to borrow. I just want you to keep in mind. If you know anybody who has like a couple million sitting in their backyard and they don't know what to do with it and they really need to be challenged, just give them my number and we'll talk to them about it, because we're going to need some help on this. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're trusting God that all this is going to be taken care of. I also want to remind you that in November that we're going to have what we call a one-day offering. We did it last year. In October, we're pushing it to November, the weekend before Thanksgiving. We're asking you, every member, everybody who calls Cross City home, to consider giving one day's wage. And not of the week, of the month, of the year. And there's a way to figure that up. We have several little processes to do that, and we'll share that with you as we get closer. But we're asking you to give one day's wage towards several mission projects. One of them is we have partnered with Convoy of Hope, who is not just a disaster relief, but that's what they're primarily known for. They've been involved in all of these fires in California over the last few years. They feed children all around the world. They teach people in third world countries how to do agriculture. I mean, they spend a lot of effort in teaching people, not just giving them food, but teaching them how to make food. They're into women's empowerment around the world, which is a big deal in a lot of places. And they have received, just for the record, their 15th in a row, 4-star charity rating. They are trustworthy. Their administrative cost is in the single digit, which is unheard of. And we're going to partner with them again. We just love them. We're also going to take part of that one-day offering, and we're going to give it to our missions team. And they're going to distribute it among our missionaries as they see fit, depending on who's going through what at that time. And then thirdly, we're going to give part of that to Pregnancy Care Center. Our support for them has kind of gone down in the last few years, and that's more of an administrative error than anything else. And we used to kind of be the number one support of that center in the valley. And we want to get back to that. We're going to be their number one supporter again. So one day offering, I just want to remind you that I'm excited about what's going on here last few weeks. Your participation, your enthusiasm has been unbelievable. And we're just in a season of growth. It usually happens about every year in the autumn. You know, we're in the autumn of the year, we're in this series called One Degree, and I told my wife, you know, 1 degree is a big deal. As soon as it drops 1 degree under 100, it's autumn, right? 99 in Fresno is fall. Yesterday was summer. Today is fall, by the way. It's under 100 today, and it's not supposed to go back over. So welcome to autumn. So beautiful. Well, we began our series by asking this question: what are you going to do with Jesus? You can be like the mob and replace him, and you can be like Herod and, you know, you can destroy him. You can be like all the rest of them and Pilate, who refused him and rejected him, or you can be like God and you can crown him Lord of all. And if you have made that decision, and I know most of you have in this room, if you've made that decision to crown him Lord of all, then the next obvious question is, well, then who else have you shared the good news with? When, where, who, and who has come to Christ because you have crowned him Lord of all? That's the obvious next step that God wants you to take. Our church, we've been running, I looked at the numbers, the last 5 weeks, we have been averaging 3,900 in attendance. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. I want you to think about this. I think a few weeks ago we had 1,200 birth through high school in one weekend. 1,200. We had one weekend where we had over 900 birth through sixth grade. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on around here. So I want to ask you this. If we're averaging the last 5 weeks 3,900, and each one of us began to pray for one other person to come to Christ, it took me all day yesterday, but I figured that out. If you double 39, I'm going to look just so I don't get it wrong. It's 7,800. 7,800 people would be attending the Great Cross City Church if each one in the next... give yourself however much time you want. Week, month, year, 2 years, 3 years, would just reach one person for Christ, would have nearly 8,000 people. You say, well, that'll never happen. And that's why it doesn't. We're asking you to ask God to put somebody in your path that you could share the good news to. I know some of you are probably thinking, oh, here's an egomaniac again. He just wants to be the leader of a big church. We see what he's doing here. Listen, I have an ego. It's not pretty, but this isn't about that. This isn't that at all. I'm telling you, it's a lot easier to be a preacher of 500 than it is 4,000. It is so much easier. So many few, less issues and headaches and everything else. Just trust me on that. I started out at a church in Halltown, Missouri. My friends called it Helltown. I told you that once. But it was so small. The church had 8 or 9 people in it, depending on whether or not that one guy would bring his wife. If he brought his wife, we had 9. If he didn't, we only had 8. And man, when it was 9, it was just like great. It was like, man, we're rocking today. And it was a pretty big building, and they would sit. The thing that the 9 people didn't bother me. Preaching to 8 people didn't bother me. What bothered me was the 3 couples that we had wouldn't sit together. They would sit separately. They would sit on the edge of the pews and put their feet on it and face each other like this. And I'm trying to preach to these folks. And I remember thinking, I just don't know if I'm cut out for this or not. But that's pretty good training. If you want to be a preacher, that'd be a great place to learn. If you can preach to them, you can preach to anybody. I want to tell you. But I went from Halltown to Alba to Tyler, Texas. I went to Union, Missouri, Downey, California. We were running over 400 down there, and I got up here, and we were running about 450, and I thought, man, I'm on my way. This is going to happen, because in my vision when I became a preacher was the goal at the end of my rainbow was to be at a church that ran around 1,000, and I thought, man, if we ever get there, they're going to throw a big party. They're going to have a parade. I'm going to be on a float. They're going to, I'm going to be waving at people. They're going to let me retire early, and they're going to pay me every day. It's going to be great. I just want you to know it doesn't work that way. That was all up here, but it just doesn't work that way. I used to listen to a guy named Jack Hiles when I was a kid, and he was a screamer, and he would scream for about 20 minutes. He would scream along these lines. If you'd rather see 5 people saved than 10 people saved, then you're not right with God. And he'd just work his way up into the millions. If you'd rather see 500 people saved than 1,000 people saved, then you're not right with God. If you'd rather see 1,000 people saved rather than 5,000 people, then you're not right with God. And he'd go on and on and on. And don't hear a lot of preaching like that anymore. But I thought if we could adapt that a little bit and figure out what is it that God really wants. When he looks down, what is he after? And so number one in your notes, I put this in there. Picture this, and I really want you to try to picture this today for the entire message. I want you to try to look at these issues from his perspective. So I want you to pretend, and some of you have been dreaming about this all year, pretend you're God. What are you after? What do you want? You're looking down, you see a church, they're running 3,900 on a weekend, they've been working for 60 years. They've made a lot of sacrifices, paid a lot of money, they've scratched a lot of stuff off that list, man, to do what God wants, and they're up to 3,900. You're God, you're looking down, you think God's thinking, that's it, that's great, thank you so much, you've done or do you think God wants a church to run 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000. I mean, what do you think God wants? When do you think he's satisfied? When do you think he says, that's it, that's enough, I mean, one more person and this thing's going over the cliff? I think I would rather see 1,000 people go to church than 500. I really do. That's what the church is. It's supposed to be going and growing. I mean, if you ran an insurance business and you had 2 people working for you that were trying to get, and by the way, if you run an insurance business, the 2 people working for you only have one real purpose in life, and that is to get new policies. They're not getting new policies, they're out. You don't have a business if they're not getting new policies. So you got these 2 guys working for you. One gets about 5 a month, and the other guy gets 50 a month. Who do you like the most? Dave, that's an easy question, isn't it? You want the one that gets the most new policies. If you're running a car lot, and if I was running a car lot, it wouldn't be a bunch of Chevys out there. It would be Fords. You would rather have a Ford than a Chevy. That's my name, Rutherford. Rutherford. That's just in my blood, man. David Rutherford. You'd rather have a Ford. But if you're running any business, any kind of car lot, and you got two salesmen, and one sells one car a week, and the other guy sells 10 cars a week, man, the guy that sells 10 cars a week, that's my new best friend. I love that guy. That's why you have a car lot. And the reason you have a church is to get people in it. That's the mission of the church. It should be the mission of every church. Now, it's not, sadly, but it should be. We base our foundation on these principles from two passages. We go over them a lot, and we're going to go over them here quickly, but we call them the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And in the Great Commandment, the Bible says, some young lawyer came up to Jesus and said something along these lines. What's the single greatest commandment? He meant it as a trying to catch the Lord in some sort of misspoken word, but it backfired on him. Jesus said, I'll give you not only the number one, but I'll give you the number two. Love the Lord your God with everything you've got, your heart, soul, and mind. The second is like that. Love your neighbors yourself. And he said, all the law and all the prophets, meaning all of the Bible, every word in this book hangs on these two simple premises. Number one, if you'll love God with everything you have and you'll love your neighbor as yourself, really everything else just kind of supports and flows from those two principles. I've said this, I don't have time to get into it, but I believe that religion complicates things. And relationships simplify things. We have all these commands in this book. Oh, you're talking about the Ten Commandments. No, I'm talking about the 613 commandments. I'm talking about everything, all the lawyers put on top of that, all of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those who added and subtracted. And I mean, the 613 literally turned into thousands of principles and commands. They were telling you to do, not to do, don't do that, go through here, jump through that, don't do this. If you do that, you're in trouble. If you do, and it just became on as time passed. That's where you get to the New Testament. You had these Pharisees, and they're sitting in judgment to see if you've broken any of these thousands and thousands of codes and commands. And it got to a point where it just began to complicate things so much. Religion complicates, but relationship simplifies. Jesus is saying, here's what you need to do. You need to follow me. You need to just love me. You need to love your neighbors. You love yourself. And I'm telling you, the rest of it's going to take care of itself. That's what our church needs to be about. And if we do that and we do the other thing, it's found in the Great Commission in chapter 28, where Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. His last words, his dying will and testament that he leaves with his followers, his close followers. He says, here's what I want you to do when I'm gone. I want you to get, we use that little acronym. I want you to go, I want you to evangelize, and I want you to teach. Go, evangelize, and teach. Get. Don't stick around in a little youth group. Don't stick around in a little prayer huddle. Get out and go. You got to go out. You got to risk it all. Where do you want me to go? Go into the whole world. What do you want me to do? I want you to tell them about my love. And then what? Well, baptize them. And then what? Continue to teach them everything I have taught you. We call that discipleship. They're going to be handing these out in the lobby on your way out. Do that. Go. And I just believe that our church ought to be based on these principles. I believe every church should. And at the close of that commission and that commandment, he says, and it's kind of, some of you might think it's a throwaway line, it just, and lo, I will be with you to the end of the age. Can I tell you something? We're not to the end of the age yet. You say, what does that mean? It means he's still with us. He's still with us. And if that's what he's asked us to do, and he says he's still with us, I just came today to tell you, you can do it. As difficult as it seems and as impossible as it seems, that is our task as believers in Jesus Christ. If you've made that decision that Jesus is Lord of all, and he is your Savior, he is your Lord, then that's your mission. And the clock is ticking, and Fresno is still unchurched. And you think, I can't do that. Yes, you can. I don't feel like I just am that kind. That's not really my personality. I'm kind of behind the scene. I get all that. Those are all excuses. But here's what you can do. You can pray for one. You can pray for one. So write that down. That's point number two. You can pray for one. You see, what does that mean? That simply means that we pray this prayer. God, please give me one person. Let one person come into my life that I can share your love with. I really believe when people come to me and they say, hey, what's going on at Cross City, man? It's pretty exciting. It's pretty, what's going on? This is my new answer I've been giving. We're praying for one. And they go, what? And I try to explain to them what that means. I really think that should be our new theme. This should be our last campaign. I mean, we're going to have others and strategies and little slogans and things. But this should be the church's campaign, I believe, for the rest of our day, till the end of the age. Our answer to every question should be, well, we're praying for one. That's what we want. We want one more person. We want to enlarge heaven's borders. Even if it just means by one, we're going to do it, and we're going to ask God to do it. Imagine if you prayed that genuinely and sincerely. I ask you to think what like God thinks. Have you thought what he's up here and he's looking down. And he's like, oh, what's going on down here? It's a busy day. A lot of traffic on Herndon today. Oh, man. Oh, that guy can't drive. Anybody pray? Oh, somebody's praying. Who is that? Is that who's talking? Who's down there? Oh, that's, and I'm just making these names up. If your name's Denise, don't feel bad. Oh, there's Denise. Hi, Denise. What's going on today, Denise? And Denise, listen, Denise is a Christian. She loves the Lord. She's a lot of us in this room. She has good days and, you know, some not so good days. She loves the Lord genuinely, but she gets caught up in this thing we call life. She has a husband and kids and school and work and taking care of the yard and feeding everybody and paying the bills. And she has that one friend of hers, that cray-cray friend of hers. And I'm just making this up. Don't be mad if your name is Janet, and her name is Janet. And Denise begins to pray. God's looking down. You're God. Picture yourself. You've always wanted to do this. I know you have. You're God, and you're looking down, and here's Denise, somebody that loves you, somebody that's trying, somebody that's trying to make it through life. And she begins to pray, and she says, God, can you hear me? I want to talk to you. I want to do something different today. I don't want to go down my list of things that I want or even that I need. I want to zero in on my friend Janet because she's struggling. She's going through some stuff. I mean, she doesn't know any other way, Lord. She's pretty worldly. God, I was just wondering, is there any way you could use me to help? Is there any way you could use me to reach her, to show her, to influence her, to point her towards you? God, is there any way? Is there any way I could be involved in Janet's life, say the right thing, do the right thing, where somehow she would get to a point where she decides to put you first? She decides to make you the Lord and Savior of her life? God, is there any way I could be a part of that? You're God. You're not Denise. You're not Janet. You're God. What? You're up here. You're hearing that. What are you thinking? Are you thinking, well, that's pretty sweet, Denise, but you know, I got all these sick people down here at all these hospitals, and I'm just so busy, and I'd love to help, but I really want to make these people well because that's my job. Maybe later, I'll look into it. Does that sound normal? Would you be looking down and thinking, well, Denise, I'd like to help you, but you know, I've got all these beauty pageant contestants all around the world, and they're all asking for world peace, and that's what I am about, and so I'm going to have to get back to you maybe this afternoon. Denise, I'd love to help you, but I got this preacher in Fresno. All he ever prays about is the Dallas Cowboys. Four o'clock Eastern, by the way. Here's what I think. I think God does a double take. I think God can hear everything and do everything at the same time because he's God. But I think when he hears Denise talk about somebody else and about sharing that love with that person, I think he does a double take. I think he goes, Denise, that's not what you normally do. Denise, you're asking if you could share my love with one other person? Oh, Denise, 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 you've made my day. You know, Denise, I love you. You know, I'm the one that made you. You know, I cannot wait to spend eternity with you. But Denise, I'm also the one that made your cray-cray friend, Janet. And I love her just as much. And I want to spend eternity with her, too. So what do you think he's going to say? I think he's going to say, I'm all in. I'm 1,000% in. It's not one of those maybe or later answers. God answers prayer. Don't you believe God answers prayer? I mean, if he's ever going to answer a prayer, this is the prayer he's going to be answering. Because that's all he wants. He sent his son down here. By the way, how many sons did God have? Did I ask you that already? How many sons did God have? He had one son. You think about that one degree of difference he made. One son, and he completely sacrificed him. There's a lot going on today in the news about sacrifice. I want to tell you, that's a sacrifice. He gave him completely and totally, and he died a brutal, agonizing death on a cross. Why would he do that? God, you think again, you're God. Why would you do that to your only son? One reason, you just want one more person to spend eternity with. That's it. There aren't any other answers. That's it. And I just am begging you, if you haven't, I know many of you already have, but you know somebody at work, at school, in your family, maybe even a church, and they really have not surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to make a difference, I would ask you to be consistent, to be persistent, to be genuine, to say, Lord, I am praying for Kenneth. I am praying for one. Lord, give me one person to share your love with. Give me one person to share your love with. I want us to say it together. I've got it on the screen. I know many of you have already been praying this, but we can just say it out loud together. Help me out, will you? God, please give me one person to share your love with. Maybe that's too hard. I don't know. It sounded hard for some of you. Let's do it again. God, please give me one person to share your love with. Can we do it again? God, please give me one person to share your love with. You think God would be all in on that? You think God would say, no, you know, I'm kind of already set. You know, it's going to be busy up here when everybody gets up here and we only have so much room. I don't know. No, I'm telling you, this is his will. This is God's will. And I'm asking you to pray for God to show you who that one is. And then allow him to use you, his love to come into you and to go out of you. And into that, whoever it is you're praying, let them see God through you. Sometimes it's hard to figure out who that one is, who the one person is that you're supposed to. I get that. It's hard in life, you know, it's hard to pick a life mate sometimes. I thought I was in love 100 times before I met my wife. And then when I met my wife, I realized all these other things were just infatuation, just, you know, wasn't real, but then that was the one. I love the story of Uwe von Schaumann, who was a field goal kicker for Miami Dolphins for about 8 years, but he was first the kicker for the Oklahoma Sooners. No applause, let's just tell the story. And he's from Germany, went to high school in Fort Worth, And he came to Oklahoma, was recruited by Barry Switzer, and was a pretty good field goal kicker. And in 1977, the Sooners go to Ohio State on the road, and the game comes down to the last second, and they call timeout. Ohio State calls timeout, and they're all taunting him, and he kicks. As the gun goes off, he kicks about a 44-yard field goal, and Oklahoma wins the game. And the place, you know, they're all depressed there, and all the Sooners are crazy. But he tells a story. I love to tell this because he tells a story that he got back to Norman, and he ran into this couple, and they were so excited because this guy, on the way to the game, they're from Norman, Oklahoma, they're going to the game, and the guy's such a Sooner fan, he told his longtime girlfriend, he said, "Look, if we win this game, I'm going to marry you." And he kicks that game winner, and they get married. And Uwe von Schaman said, I ran into that guy about 6 years ago, and he just walked up to me and said, "Uwe, why did you kick that field goal right through the uprights?" I mean, sometimes we want everyone to be the one. We're that guy. We're that AAA guy where everyone is the one. I find that to be a little, I mean, I don't think that's wrong. I just think it helps if we simplify it and say, I'm going to pray for one. I want that one person that I'm going to share the love of God with. There has to be one who needs it that I cross paths with today. God, give me that opportunity to share your love. Number three, I put down here in your notes. You say, you might be thinking, well, why don't I just, preacher, why don't you just ask me to be good to everybody, huh? Isn't that what you really want me to do, just be kind and a positive person and be sweet and kind of generous with people? Isn't that what you're really after here? Isn't that what you're saying, to be a good witness and all that? That's really not what I'm asking. Because your love is, you know, it's okay. But his love is different. His love is great. I just want to tell you, when you're on your own and you're being the very best you can, I mean, it may be okay, but that's just a tiny, 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 tiny reflection of how wonderful and how great his love really is. Even at your best, you're just a reflection. I mean, a fraction of his love. That's what you've got to figure out. I mean, it's one thing to be kind and generous, but it's one thing to be kind and generous because you've got a motive. And your motive is you're aiming and you're looking and you're attempting and you're trying to get to a point where you can actually say, hey, I've got the answer for that. Let me tell you about somebody who changed my life. Let me tell you what he did for me. And then you're able to share the love of God with them. I mean, I'm just telling you, there's a difference. And I run into people and they say, you know what? God has never put that one person in front of me to share his love with. I always think, well, you're either blind or you have never prayed this prayer. Because they are everywhere. I love one of my favorite passages I read a lot around here, besides the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, is 2 Peter 3:9, where it says, the Lord is not slow, as a lot of you think he is. It's like, where is he? What's he doing? The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He is patient with you. He is patient with you. He is patient. Oh, how many know he's been patient with you? Yeah. He's patient with you. And I'll tell you, he's patient with me. He's patient with you because he does not want any one, we're talking about one degree, he doesn't want one, not one, I said not one person to die without knowing him. That's his heart. But what he wants is everyone, every single one, every single person that he's made, he wants that person to have a saving, lifelong, eternal long relationship with him. That's his heart. So that's why I'm saying, when you're looking down at Denise and she says, Lord, is there any way you could help me to reach Janet? God is all in. That's why you're here. And people struggle with this. I mean, it's 24/7 with me. I run into people and they are so in love with this place And America's easy to fall in love with. We have it all. You go to some of these third world countries, and I'm telling you, man, you talk about good news and Jesus and heaven, and boy, they are instantly interested. Some of us, we have a hard time because we have the big house, we have the 3-car garage, we have so big closets, and we also have that stuff down at Daryl's in case all our stuff burns up. We have a whole extra set of houseware in that Daryl's storage. I mean, we've fallen in love with this place. We've made this our heaven. And it's not how he intended it. Life, even here in the great United States, is challenging and difficult and painful and full of sorrow and heartache. A gal grabbed me, I think, early in the week or midweek in front of the frat house, tears in her eyes. And she said, "I can't believe you just said a few days ago that our 60th anniversary would be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity." And you explained why. And I explained it because I knew we would not all be together again at our 70th or 75th. It just doesn't happen that way. In the last, I think Scott was telling me, I think since May, we've lost about 15 people in our church and about another 15 people connected to our church. And this woman with tears in her eyes, of course, was referencing the precious little girl in our youth who lost her life Monday in a tragic accident. Her grandparents are here. Her parents are Brandon and Sarah Harris. If you want to lift them up in prayer, you need to. We need to be praying for these people constantly because there's no getting over it. You might somehow get through it, but you're not going to get over it. It is gut-wrenching. And so pray. Pray for these people. Pray for these family members. I have kids, and I have a granddaughter. I cannot even begin to imagine trying to wake up and move on and live my day. But I've tried to tell you many, many times in the last 6 months, we're not made for this place. You weren't made for this place. You wonder why it's difficult. You wonder why it's challenging. You wonder why it hurts. Because this isn't your home. We're just passing through. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. And those of you who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're going to spend eternity in heaven with him. This is nothing. And yet it's all we know, and we don't know how to base our emotions on anything else because this is the broken world that we know and we live in. I've asked before, you know, I've gone through this before, why wouldn't we, you know, why are you here? You're here for one reason. So why wouldn't we, when you become a Christian and you say you walk forward, give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, go up to the baptistry, why wouldn't we, when you come up out of that baptistry, why wouldn't we have a couple of big, you know, like bouncers with big heavy baseball bats or a 2x4, and you, as soon as you come up out of that baptistry, both of them just whammo, knock you right in the head and knock you out and flat on that and just knock you dead right there on the spot, and you go into eternity right there. How many would like to be the first today to try that? You want to do the swinging or the baptizing or the... I mean, why wouldn't we do that? I mean, it's not a horrible idea because that way, listen, that way you don't run the risk of being hurt, of being tempted, losing your temper, getting your house broken into, losing a loved one, spending half the rest of your days in a hospital. I mean, life's dicey. This is a broken world. Do you ever feel like you're out of place? You should. If you don't, you should. Because you are out of place. This isn't your home. I don't know why we fall in love with all this temporary junk. I'm telling you, this is the only thing that matters. It's who you're praying for. Are they going to come to Jesus or not? I want to close with two thoughts. One, heaven is real. It is eternal. And it is made for you. We don't know everything about it. The Bible gives us a few sneak peeks. And those sneak peeks are fantastic. And we're told we couldn't even comprehend how wonderful and how great it really is. It is going to be fantastic. And friend, it is designed for you. God has been working on it from day one. He did all this in 6 days. He's been working on that for many, 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 many years. I'm telling you, it's going to be unbelievable. It's designed for you. You're going to live forever and ever and ever. And after 25 trillion years, it won't even be lunchtime on the first day in heaven. It's eternal. It's eternal. So pray for one. The reason you're here, the reason you're left here, the reason God doesn't send two thugs to knock you out the moment you come out of that baptistry, the only reason you're here is to share His love with one other person. You see, we've all bought the lie. Oh, no, I'm supposed to have a family. I'm supposed to get a degree and a house and the thing and the yard and a dog. And I've got this all figured out. Preacher, you don't understand. No, you're not seeing it. You're not hearing what He's saying. A new command I give you, He says in John chapter 13. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. It's a new system I've got for you. It's brand new. I know we've had all these religious things. I know we've had the 613. I got something brand new. Love others as I have loved you. It comes into you. It's supposed to go out of you and go into somebody else. And I'm telling you, when it goes into somebody else, and it really goes into somebody else, it's only a matter of time before it goes out of them and it goes into somebody else. And that's how and that's why the church is supposed to grow. His love is better than yours. His love is different. His love, it's a forgiving and unconditional and limitless. It has no strings attached. His love is sacrificial. You talk about sacrificial. His love is sacrificial. And He's saying, I want you to love like that because that's how I loved you. Number two there, the last point, the road of life is purposeful and safe as we get ready to close. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the journey is doable. I'm saying you have a job to do. You have a purposeful life. You're on mission. You may not even know it. A lot of people don't. Just aimlessly walking around through life, you know. And God's saying, no, I gave you a job to do. I gave you a task. You say, oh, well, that's not very doable. Oh, it's all doable. See, why is it doable? Because He's here to help you. He didn't say, go do this on your own. Good luck. No, He said, and I will be with you to the end of the age. You don't know what to say. I get it. You feel a little scared. I get that too. You might be a little embarrassed. I understand. You're living in a broken world and all these people and all their attitudes. But I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. That's why you're here. That's the only reason you're taking in oxygen right now. Make the use of it. We looked at that woman last week at that well, and she went back into that community. Seemingly impossible task. But she did it. And the Bible says that many came to believe because of her testimony. Wow. And then remember at the end of the chapter, it said they asked Jesus to stay a couple days. Many came to believe because of her testimony, and then they asked Jesus, would you hang around for a couple days? We want to hear from you. Come see a man who told me. They all came to see Jesus. They all came to Christ. Then they said, Jesus, could you stay for a couple days? And Jesus stayed for a couple days, and then there's a line that says, many more believe because of what Jesus said. But as you examine that, I think the reason they believed this woman in the first place was because Jesus was there. He never left. He went with her. He was a part of the process. He's not going to leave you out to dry. He's not going to send you down a dark, lonely road without His help, without His Spirit. And many more became believers. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. I wish I had another hour to yell at you this morning, but I don't. If you're here, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you something. We've had about 5 or 6 people come today the first time to give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. We've had others come to make other decisions. If you're here and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm telling you, that's really the only reason we're here. That's number one on our priority list. If you need to be baptized, come down here, we'll help you. If you need to repent, if you need to have somebody to talk to or to pray with, we want to help you. We want to help you. Let's sing together.